a little bit late tonight at 6:06. First item is roll call, please.
Commissioner Lopez?
Present.
Commissioner Geary?
Here.
Commissioner Blackburn?
Here.
Commissioner Taggart?
She called me an hour ago, and she made it from Ridgecrest to Isabella, and the Canyon Road was closed.
Oh, yeah.
So she had to turn around and go back home. So
she's excused.
She's excused.
Okay. And then Commissioner Christopher?
Here. That's a sign from God. Actually, my friend is killed on 178 on a motorcycle. Who was that?
Oh my gosh, the couple?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
What are we talking about?
She's not a close friend, but I adopted her cat. Of course, I've adopted a cat to have anybody. But
yeah, I just read about it today.
We'll talk later.
Let's go ahead and get rolling.
Yeah.
Okay, so next item is approval of summary proceedings from last month. Very nicely done.
Thank you.
I have to say. If there's any discussion or someone to approve, and
I approve the file.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No. Thank you. Consent agenda. We have two items on here. We have an email that was addressed regarding Jennifer Blake, and we have also an appeal hearing that this commission is going to be addressing next month. So both of these have been addressed. If anybody wants to talk about it, they can. Otherwise, I need a motion to receive the file.
Do we need to discuss this before next month?
I think at this point, all you can do is comment that you've received it, and you might want to consider waiting until the party that it involves is here to discuss it substantively. That would be my advice.
Okay. My only question is the hearing, you had discussed a hearing with the commission. Is that going to still happen before the meeting?
The hearing will happen during the meeting.
Does it happen during the meeting?
Correct. It'll be agendized.
Okay, and then we'll have time to decide what we're going to do. We don't have to decide at the meeting.
You'll have 30 days to submit a decision after the hearing.
Okay,
sounds good. Nick asked that everybody show up 15 minutes early next month. We saw that or not, just to kind of go over anything. Okay. All right. I need a motion to receive the file.
I will make a motion to receive the file.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No. Thank you. Public presentations. Oh, by the way, we only got four people here in the room, but I'm going to say it anyway. Any electronic devices, please either silence or turn off. And if you need to talk, please take it in the hallway. But not an issue tonight, but I got to say it every month. Public presentations. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission. Commissioners may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff to report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record before making presentation, and you're limited to 2 minutes, although tonight I might let you go a little longer. Anyone from Row 2?
It's official.
You're young and energetic.
I don't even know how I drive myself here today, okay? I can't. Is this?
Yeah, it's close. There you go.
Does that mean it's on? Michelle Vallejos, 93309. It's been a few months since I mentioned about the creation of Current Safe Animal Coalition. We worked a lot in East Bakersfield at the beginning of the year. This past Saturday, we held our first vaccine clinic in Oildale at Sears Park. We canvassed the two Saturdays prior. I took a couple people out, dropped flyers and fences, and then the week of, we canvassed twice that week. And Colin came out, and there was a bunch of people out there and helped canvass. Kern County Animal Services and Bakersfield Animal Care Center have really been providing the printing services for these flyers, so I want to give a shout out to both the city and county for making it possible. SNP actually hosted this specific clinic with Kern Safe, and I just wanted to tell you that 330 distemper parvo vaccines were given. The FBRCP, 38 killed a couple fat people, 307 on rabies, and 213 microchips. And I forgot to look it up, and my phone's over there, but I think we had 93 people sign up for spay and neuter. We have a website, kernsafe.org, where people can have get a little bit of information on vaccines, and there's a link to sign up for spay and neuter. And I think it's just it's still going strong. Pretty exciting. That's it.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you. Thank you. Uh-huh. You still have another minute to go.
Well then.
Oh, you're going to call me.
No, I just, we had been working a lot through the beginning of the year. This was our last big conglomerate vaccine clinic before summer hit because it's hot, and it was hot this last Saturday. And so through the course of the summer, I think people might go out there in little tiny, quick pop-up vaccines, but we probably won't pick up until late fall for the big, heavy-duty, all-encompassing neighborhood ones.
All right.
Okay.
Nice. Thank you so much.
Excellent.
And Bill Sunroom, too. Okay. Last room. Okay. See you then. We'll come back to the table. At this point in time, we have our Director's Monthly Report. Director Cullen, please.
Talk fast.
There's a lot to go over.
There's a lot.
Very busy.
Okay. Nick Cullen, Director of County of Kearns Animal Services Agency. I wanted to touch on a few points in the director's report. It was a very busy month for us. We do continue to see a decline in, maybe not decline, a stagnancy of adoptions, private party adoptions. We've been, in the 3 to 360 or so adoptions the last few months, and, it's pretty common to see our totals in the 400, 500, and 600 pets adopted per month range. So that is not unique to Kern County. That is a statewide trend. Most, especially public animal welfare agencies, are seeing a slowing down of private party adoptions. Tough to explain why, but like I said, it's not unique to us. It's statewide. We're starting to get hit pretty hard with kittens coming to us. Last week, there was like a 3-day stretch where we took in like 140 kittens just in 3 days. Wasn't unexpected, it's kitten season, but it's always a shocker. Our vaccination clinics, we didn't do as well as maybe Kern Safe did, but in April, thanks to the Petco Love people, 359 parvo distemper vaccines were administered. Over 230 rabies vaccinations in the month of April. That was at county clinics. We held 5 spay and neuter clinics, we pretty consistently have 5 spay and neuter clinics, 2 of which were collaborative. By collaborative, it's still a county clinic, but it's a shared cost. SOS Dog Rescue shares a cost for the collaborative clinics. So there was a clinic in East Bakersfield and a clinic in Oildale. 100 surgeries were completed combined, and those were collaborative clinics. So they had approached us because they had some funding to support spay and neuter, and we were just able to add basically another clinic, spay and neuter clinic, each month next month. So 222 animals were provided for in the month of April, spay and neuter wise. We are projected to finish off the fiscal year, which ends June 30th, right at the
finish point of our spay-neuter funding, so we appropriate $500,000 for spay-neuter. We've expended, through April 30th, $419,000, about $80,000 left over, and we should be right on target to spend all of that by the end of June. We'll probably finish with close to 5,000 surgeries provided for at the end of the year. Like I said, adoptions are a little slow. 1,432 total adoptions this year. Thankfully, our rescue personnel, our staff that collaborates with nonprofits, has really been working hard. We're on track to send probably another 40%. I see a 40% increase in the amount of animals sent to nonprofits this year than last year, and that's just hard work on our rescue team. Just this past Monday, we really worked hard to cultivate a relationship with a nonprofit in Canada, Saskatchewan, Canada. It's 26 hours away. And we helped identify 20 large breed dogs. So these were German Shepherds and Huskies and Bullies. And probably another 8 or 10 smaller breed dogs. Our team provided for the spay and neuter of those animals. And then we just had to figure out how to get them to Saskatchewan, Canada. We did a lot of work trying to find a transport partner, and it ended up being Marley's Mutts. And Marley's Mutts, you know, it's a lot of communication and dialogue, and they had a vehicle, and they have a muck mover program, but the vehicle was broken down, and they got it fixed just in time, and thankfully everything just came together. And on Monday morning, our staff and volunteers loaded up 29 dogs, but the big part of that is 20 of them were large, big dogs, which are hard to find. And they all left, and sometime around 5 p.m. last night, I got word that they made their way to Canada, and we've been getting some pictures of some of their foster families that have received the animals from us, and it's just, I don't know, it's just one of those things where it's really neat that we're able to get animals out, even into another country, but at the same time, it's like, man, what we have to do to get animals out of our care, you know, we got to go up to Canada, 26 hours away, but it's just a, you know, nice collaborative effort between us and the nonprofit, Marley's Mutts, and just our team worked really hard to put this together, and we're real hopeful that it's going to lead to continued contacts and networking of business in Canada, and you know, maybe just another option to get animals out, you know, to Canada. Our adoption promotion in the month of April was just $10 for all adoptions, all animals for the month of April. It was also Animal Care Professional Appreciation Week at the beginning of April. Seems like there's always some appreciation week or a national day of some kind, but the second week of April, I think it was, we had provided some special appreciations for our staff on that Thursday and Friday. So I think on Thursday we had nacho boats, nacho bar. I think it was a nacho bar. And then on Friday, I think we did lunch for them. And then the week after, they had a big pop-up too. So our staff, you know, they work real hard. You know, and so it's important for us to make sure that they feel appreciated. And we made sure we took care of that last month. We participated in a Touch a Truck event. It wasn't actually on April 14th because it was supposed to be on April 14th and then it got canceled. And then we ended up doing it last week, I think. That was pretty neat. We had one of our officers had their animal control vehicle out at the event so that people could see what an animal control vehicle looks like. And then we had, I think, our staff member out in a dog. Officer Shepherd Barker was out. The next page, page 12, I'll touch on, there's a dog named Cap. That's his picture right there. Cap. He was a candidate for Streets of Bakersfield. Streets of Bakersfield is basically a doggy day out program. It's pretty successful, and a lot of people participate in it. And every other Saturday, folks can come down, fill out a career application, take a dog out for the day, and bring it back around 3 p.m. And the only thing that we ask of the community is to take photos, post on your own social media, and then come back, fill out a report card, and tell us about what you did, because it helps us gather some information about the animals that we're sending out. Well, this dog, Cat, he went out on a Streets of Bakersfield jaunt and got away. And correct me if I'm wrong about this name, but and he was running free for a week, maybe?
No, Cap was just for 24 hours.
Just 24 hours, yeah. We were getting word through social media that it was being seen here and there and everywhere. And our staff, some of which were off duty, some of which were on duty, were able to communicate with our social media team and find out where he was, and went and captured him and brought him back. And he's still with us now.
You should have sent him to Canada.
A long story, but he is still with us. The next page, page 13, is something I'm happy to announce, that we have been working with some of the local kennel clubs and the AKC Reunite program to deliver a pet disaster relief trailer so that we can respond to natural disasters faster and more efficiently. And 4 years we've been working on this. Mm-hmm. And, the local kennel clubs and the AKC Reunite was able to marshal donations and grant dollars, and they made it happen. And so last month we took receipt of the trailer, fully stocked. I think it's a 17-foot trailer, but it's a fully stocked trailer. And by stocked, whenever there is a natural disaster or man-made disaster that strikes and the county is required to respond, most often here it's fires, wildfires. Usually if an area is evacuated, the Department of Human Services will get with the Red Cross and they'll set up an emergency evacuation shelter. Well, most people have dogs, cats, or animals, and so if they're going to evacuate, if they have a place to take their pets, they're more inclined to evacuate when they're told to do so. So that's where we come in, and that's where these supplies come in. And so, it's been a long time coming that we've been working on this, and we finally did receive, receipt of the trailer. Still waiting for a pink slip. once that comes, I'll get plates on it, get registered and all that, but big thank you to the Bakersfield Obedience and Training Club, and Janice Anderson, and Anderson Acres, and
Labrador Retriever Club of America.
Yeah, it's just a really cool thing to see finally come to fruition, and now we'll start working on the second one. our team was out and brought out some adoptable pets for the Scottish Games. Open days of Saturday and Sunday. It wasn't incredibly successful for adoptions, but a lot of good questions and information that got out to the community. I think towards the middle or end of April is the Volunteer Appreciation Week. If you haven't seen it, if you get a chance, scroll through the department's social media pages back to mid-April, because there's a really cool video that we put out just thanking our volunteers for all that they do. And I think we even had an ice cream social for them on a Saturday too. And then we took this cool picture of our staff. That was actually, it was a video, and I think we all said thank you. And that ended up being the end of the social media video that we created. But love our volunteers. We couldn't do what we do without them. In addition to the transporter that I just told you about, we did have a transport of 33 dogs that went to Northern California the last week of April, April 28th. So again, our rescue team really trying to work hard to seek placement for some of the animals, even when there's a slowdown in adoptions. Streets of Bakersfield stood up April 13th to April 27th. Kind of touched on that. Cap being an escapee. adoption events in the community. We were out at PetSmart on April 5th. We were out at the Bark in the Park, which was an adoption event at Heritage Park on April 6th. We were at the Petco on Rosedale Highway, April 7th. Tractor Supply, April 12th. Sparkling Image Car Wash on 8th Street, April 13th. Petco on Goffrey, April 14th. Sparkling Image on Weibel, April 19th. Scottish Games was the 20th and 21st. Cloud 9 Coffee hosted us, April 26th. Again, the Car Wash Sparkling Image on Weibel was on April 27th. And then on April 28th, we were at the Rio Bravo Farmers Market. So I just wanted to highlight, because our team is out there every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They're out there in the community. Not only does it take staff to get out there and market the animals at these events, but a lot of our team works behind the scenes to engage business owners and find venues for us to, successful venues, and venues that are safe for the animals too. So it's a lot of work that they do, and we were at all of those locations in April. And just to touch on one of those events, the Bark in the Park, that was something that we put together. So we have probably currently about 60 dogs in foster care. It usually hovers around 60 to 80 to 100 dogs in foster care at any given time. And a lot of those dogs are just fostered because they're endangered euthanasia. And so trying to find events and venues for those dogs that are no longer in the shelter but still need a home, it's kind of it's tough to figure out sometimes. So our team got together and they developed Spark in the Park, where it's only foster dogs. And we're going to try to continue to do some more events like that. We've also created a new ability for if you have a dog that you've taken out into foster, this is recent, we've created a link and given the ability for the foster parent to adopt that pet when they find somebody who's willing to adopt. So they don't have to send the dog back. The person doesn't have to come back. There's a link on our website, and there's some information that the foster has about how to do it, so that if they're out and about, somebody asks about the animal, and they're interested in adopting, they can do it right then and there. Trying to find a placement for foster is a big deal. Next, I'll just kind of tell you about Tammy's story. Tammy was a cat, is a cat, I think it's still with us.
Yeah.
We had a call in dispatch about a cat that had fallen down a well. We always try to respond to every call that we get, but sometimes if my officer can't get to it with tools, they're not climbing down in a well. They're not authorized to do that. So sometimes we say, we'll do the best that we can. Well, Officer Weinbarger really did the best that she could, and she fished Tammy out of the well using all the tools at her disposal. It was quite an ordeal. I think Officer Weinbarger was out there for a couple hours, and she did, like I said, she saved Tammy. Tammy ended up being a sweet cat. She had a few injuries, nothing too major, but she's alive and well. She developed an adoption. At least she's kind of moved out of the surgery room and into the general population too. That was a good story. We talked about the line bar at the end of the time. Another cool story is about Simba. And again, you can read the synopsis of the story, but that's just another, read that story, it's another reason why you should microchip your pet. It's another success story about microchipping your pet. Simba was lost nowhere near where she was. Our officers were able to find that animal, scan for a microchip, track it down, and reunited with its pet owner that had been missing from 3 weeks, and like I said, miles and miles away from where they had lost it. So it's always fascinating to hear these stories about these animals that travel long distances. Our commercial animal facility permit program, we currently have 66 active commercial animal facility permits. We did fail 8 properties on inspection last month, and 8 corresponding citations were issued. I will finish up with touching on the volunteer numbers. Again, last last month was Volunteer Appreciation Week. Our volunteers have donated over 2,000 hours to the department just this year, since January. That doesn't include the time that you all volunteer, because that is volunteer time. And that finishes the report. I can answer any questions.
Okay, thank you. Well, for comments at the table.
Yes, I do have, I guess, question, suggestion. I'm wondering, I know you mentioned that it's a statewide issue happening right now with adoption numbers dipping. And I'm wondering, or maybe that's just, I used to work for Legal Aid as a housing attorney, so I'm like thinking about those times. I'm wondering whether that has to do with housing restrictions on pets, and whether maybe the Animal Services Commission can work with county and maybe requiring that new developments have policies that allow pets. Because I used to have a lot of clients being evicted because, you know, they had illegal pets in their home and things like that, and I'm just wondering whether, I mean, maybe that's the statewide, like, just the housing crisis going on in California, but I know that Bakersfield is growing, and there's a lot of new housing development, and I know that's my city purview for a lot of things, but I'm just wondering whether that's a possibility, whether we can talk to, you know, I don't know, whoever is issuing those housing permits, those development permits for rental, whether there could be, like, no, you know what, if you're going to build, you know, units for rentals, then you need to require, or you need to allow pets, right, and not have any, like, restrictions for that.
Certainly. Commissioner Lopez, through the chair, not only is pet-friendly housing a problem potentially that prevents us from placing animals in adoptive homes, it is probably one of the driving factors as to why the animals are showing up in the shelter in the first place.
Right.
And, you know, we have taken steps in the past using grant funding that we had received to try and move towards some solution to providing more pet-friendly housing, especially in targeted areas. 62% of the animals that come into our facilities come from 4 zip codes, which is about 300 square miles. Kern County's 8,000 square miles. And, you know, we had identified as a problem with pet deposits. Not only pet deposits, but just flat out taking no pets whatsoever. And so we started to pursue some sort of really just questioning what it would take to, and this wasn't working with county or city. What we had found out is, you know, these are existing properties that are owned by private companies that they set their own policies, but we wanted to pursue, well, what if we were able to provide some training to these animals and maybe a good canine citizenship certificate or something like that? Would you be willing to? Unfortunately, we didn't get too good of a response. I don't remember the exact numbers, but it's somewhere around 40% of the rental properties in the target area are owned by like 3 companies or managed by 3 companies. And the decisions on pet policies are not made by people here. They're made by corporate entities. And so most of the conversations we were having were with private owners. And, you know, it got very abstract to the point where we were spending a lot of time trying to solve a problem that didn't seem like it was going to move the needle. I definitely do identify it as a big problem, pet-friendly housing, not only in Kern County, but in the state. I really don't know what can be done about that. I'm not overly familiar with permitting and whether or not there's some sort of requirement that can be attached to new permits.
Yes, we can't really go for existing housing, but as, you know, new development arises.
It's certainly something that I can start looking into. I'd be happy to work with you and reach out to some of the folks in planning and natural resources and talk to them about what's possible.
Okay, thanks. Commissioner Gary?
What? About that, I don't know where it stands, but there was some legislation in Sacramento trying to push that through. Mm-hmm. But I don't know where it stuck because they were trying to force existing owners which kind of goes into property rights and stuff, so. But there is something statewide in the works.
Okay.
Just curious, how big did you find a place in Canada?
I wish I could say it was us. It wasn't. It was really some of our volunteers. I wish I could tell you how hard some of the volunteers work to network some of our dogs. And they use social media, and they use it very well. And they spend their time at the shelter taking animals out of the kennels, taking them to play art, creating videos, making really good quality content, showing the personality of these animals. And they've been doing it for long enough now that they have an audience. And, I can't speak to the minutiae of how this relationship came about, but I can tell you that it almost entirely came through volunteers. And introducing the nonprofit to our rescue team, and then it was just a conversation that happened from there. But it really was an effort on everybody's part to make this happen.
And then they go to fosters up there, and then they work on getting them adopted there. It's not like a shelter, or are they?
So it's called Running Wild Rescue. I don't believe they're a brick and mortar shelter. They're just a rescue, kind of like the rescues around here. Yeah. They don't have a kenneling system that's entirely foster based. And I only know that because probably 2/3 of the animals that we sent, they already got pictures and video of them in their foster homes. I think when they arrived, they were already having those fosters ready to come and receive those animals.
Kudos to your volunteers for doing that.
Very good.
I'm curious, the SOS Dog Rescue, that's not the Dobie SOS in Tashkent,
is it? No, SOS Dog Rescue, Strength of Shadow.
That's right.
SOS.
I remember hearing about that.
They operate mainly out of the Kerner Valley.
That's what I thought.
Isabella Aaron.
Okay, well, that's nice of them to. They're even hosting clinics not in Isabella.
No, they're doing mainly spay-neuter in Bakersfield, but they're not only partnering with us, they're collaborating with the city of Bakersfield to bring spay-neuter resources there, too.
That's excellent. Okay.
Very good.
Thank you.
On the volunteers, I was pleased with all the volunteers. Reminded me of the days when Jeff George was around. I had all these great volunteers. You said 2,000 hours last month.
No, that was year-to-date.
What's that?
2,000 hours year-to-date.
Oh, year-to-date, okay. Well, anyway, there's a lot of lives. It's a lot of people. And so it's good to see, because that is the backbone of any organization, is the volunteers. So I'm glad to see all of those. We're still doing the inside PetSmart. We have the kittens inside there, right?
Petco,
yes. Yeah. Do you have any idea how many kittens have been placed in the last month? You're keeping track of that, right?
Yeah, I don't have it off the top of my head.
Maybe next time.
But keep in mind, we haven't really gotten busy with kittens until probably the last 2 weeks, maybe. So
okay.
The numbers probably wouldn't be very impressive. They will be.
Yeah, they will be. Okay. All in all, though, I see this... it's marketed in a lot of different ways, and I'm glad to see it, because that's what it's going to take to solve this problem, is marketed in as many ways as you can think of, and that's kind of what you're doing. So I'm going to open up for questions from the audience, or director, anything that you want to ask? Anybody? Okay. All right, seeing none, we'll come back. At this point, I need a motion to receive a filed report. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No. Thank you. Commissioners' announcements or reports. Item F. On their own initiative, commissioners may make an announcement or report on their own activities. There may be a question for clarification, make a referral to staff, or take action to have staff place a matter of business on a future agenda. Gina, any things you'd like to talk about? You usually have some great current events.
SOS TV.
same old stuff, different day.
Oh, come on.
At the last meeting, I was taking 30 cats to Selma. Now tomorrow, I'm taking about 25.
Well, that's good.
I had a critter's appointment last Thursday. I got 17 in there. So, yeah, I'm hitting it. You know, anybody can attach me. I don't qualify. I have people that say, well, I really need to get a cat. I can't afford it. It's okay. You know, can you afford $25?
Right.
If you can just make that little bit of an effort, I'll foot the bill on the rest. I've got a little money in my kitty account, and I can handle it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I never let money be a barrier to getting, especially those females, fixed. Although the males can be so problematic. I had a feral show up at my house about a month and a half ago, so he, I believe in karma, and I get a lot of good karma, and he just walked into my cat house one day, and yes, he did have a cat house, and I saw him, and I was like, oh my God. So I was able to close the door, and thus trapping him inside my cat house, and I scooched him into my catio, so as of tonight, he's in my catio, and I've been feeding him kibble inside the trap. I've called him Jersey because he looks like a Jersey cow, and he is so mad at me right now. But he'll be even madder tomorrow, and then I'll let him go. And he's been beating up my other cats. I mean, the male cats are just nasty when they're not weird. They're just horrible.
Yeah, they are.
So he'll have his day tomorrow. And, you know, again, it costs money, but I don't care because he's a problem. And it was more important to get other cats into critters. And I had just chopped it the day before, so anyway, that'll be my day tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll keep plugging away at it. I go plan on going once a month every month until I can't do it anymore.
Okay, I hope that doesn't happen. Well, anyway, he may be mad at you, he's going to, when you let him out tomorrow, he's still going to be mad that he's going to know where his food is.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He's going to remember
exactly
that.
Exactly where his food is.
So that might change his mind a little bit.
It's a good year, too, yeah.
Okay. I have nothing to add to that except I teach at BC, Bakersfield College, and our last day of school was last Thursday, and graduation was Friday, and no one's happier about it than me. So no school for 3 more months. So maybe I can do some of these things that I've been wanting to do, but I just couldn't do it. Kosher Gary, what have you been up to?
We went down to Central California Animal Disaster Team and had a group at a fire safe council in Kernville. We're the only ones representing animals. We got some sign-ups for some core training to get more volunteers. There's so many different names. The Kern State...
Yeah, they have a bunch of the Kern State people were here.
Sure.
They actually want to come to our training.
Oh, yeah.
They do?
Yeah. She has at least 8 so far, and they're willing to come down to Kernville, so we don't have to do 2 different ones. So that's amazing. I think her name's Shannon?
Yeah, Shannon.
Yeah. We had a long chat. And also, we're going to have a booth set up at Canine Creek this weekend during the shelter's adoption day, off-site adoption day, so that'll be nice to be there with them, and hopefully to have Japan's will adopt. I think that's it for me.
Okay. Commissioner Lopez, I know you're an attorney, but you know, you're busy doing all kinds of things. Give us a short thumbnail schedule of what your activities are during the month. What do you do?
Well, I was just going to comment to encourage people to go to the East Bakersfield Festival on Saturday. One of my other extracurriculars is I'm an Aztec dancer, and my group is going to be Aztec, like the Mexican Aztecs.
Aztec.
I'm an Aztec dancer, and I'm going to be Aztec dancing at the East Bakersfield Festival, in case anyone's interested in knowing better. So I'm just encouraging people to, you know, support that festival. There's going to be a lot of fun activities for, I guess, children, grandchildren.
Is there any food involved? I happen to be a foodie, so if there's any food involved, I mean, they usually get my attention that way. Great. Okay. Well, excellent. Okay. There is no old business. There is no new business. So the next item is adjourn number, and it is the right date. Yay.
And you're not going to be here?
I'm not going to be here, unfortunately. I'll be in
the country.
I'll be in Europe, actually, on that day.
Nice.
So June 19th at 6 p.m. So I just need a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
In a second. Okay, we're adjourned.